Well, our theme this Christmas has been Jesus, Light of the World. And you know, many babies become kings over the last 2,000 years, but only one king has become a baby. Jesus, Light of the World, the King of Heaven, came to earth to free his people. And I'm not going to talk for long. We wanted to worship and celebrate. But if you've got a Bible, find Isaiah 9. And this is the verses we've been kind of celebrating over the Christmas period. So this is Isaiah 9, verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing a plunder. Are we rejoicing? You bet. Did we throw a party last Sunday? Did we just throw a party? Yep. And the reason we can throw a party, the reason we can rejoice is even though there are difficulties around us, even though there's all sorts of mess in the world, the light has come. And we carry the light because God is for us. Therefore, because God is for us, we can celebrate. I often say to people, I've read the end of this book. We win. You know, that's why we rejoice. That's why we celebrate. And verse 4, for as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. And what the prophet Isaiah here is doing, he's talking about Gideon in the time of the judges when Gideon defeats the Midianites. And when Gideon goes into battle, the Lord looked. Firstly, Gideon didn't want to go into battle. And when Gideon finally obeys the Lord to go into battle, the Lord goes, nah, you got too many people. So tell anybody that's fearful, tell them to go home. And half of them, they're off. They're off home. And the Lord looks and says, you've still got too many people. In fact, he says, You have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into their hands, or Israel would boast against me. My own strength has saved me. So he says, take them by some water and let them have a drink and watch. And watch the ones that kind of lap like dogs and the others that kneel down. And I think, if I remember rightly, it's the ones that lap like dogs. There's 300 of them. And he said, with that, those 300, I'll give Midian into your hand. You don't need a big army. And he said, with that 300, what you're going to do is they're going to take their sword and they're going to take their trumpets. And they had these clay jars with torches in them. And they stand round the Midian camp. And they, at the command of Gideon, they break the jars and the light shines around the Midian camp, just like the children brought in the lights. And as the light shines and as the trumpets sound, the Midianites go into chaos and are completely destroyed. And what the prophet Isaiah is saying is that's what happens when you turn the lights on. Let's move on. Verse 6. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. For the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And so God doesn't come with a mighty army. He comes, the king becomes a baby. And the light of God breaks into our world. Arise, shine, your light has come. Jesus is here. He's been born as a baby. And Luke goes on, and Luke 2 says, Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, and in favor with God and man. You know, I was thinking in the week when we started this church, you know, when you go church planting, you never quite know what's going to happen, but you do know when you get there, people have an idea of what church is, so they want everything straight away. You know, we want kids' work, we want great preaching, we want you to feed the poor, we want youth work, we want this and we want that. And the truth is, you can only do what you can do, right? But I've learned one important lesson through walking with Jesus. You can only do what you can do plus one. Okay, if you just do what you can do it. But if you do what you can do plus something that you can't do, and actually it's doomed to fail unless he steps in, you're walking in faith. And that's why here, the Holy Spirit always adds something into the mix every year. You know, we're seeking his presence. We're preaching the gospel and seeing people saved. And we can't make that happen. And you know that now most weeks people come forward and give their lives to Jesus. But you know when we started it, no one came forward because we can't do it. Push it into healing. You know, so many people we prayed for that didn't get healed, and now we're seeing people getting healed. Wholeness and transformation, doing what we can't do. We do what we can do, but then we do what we can't do because we are reliant, always reliant on him. And you know, this morning and last Sunday, I think something new was birthed in this church. We opened the church with our youth and children doing that production. We've always, you know, for a long while, we've had Chroma Compassion that's fed thousands and thousands of people. We've had Chroma Worship that leads us into the presence of God. And I think now we have Chroma Arts that's expressing the goodness and the greatness, telling the story of Jesus. That's, you see, that's how you pass on the revival in our hearts through the generations. You keep telling the story. What parent in their right mind would not want their kids to be involved in that, telling the stories of Jesus? And you see, as you do that, and as we tell the stories, they never forget. And another interesting dynamic happens is the younger ones look up to the slightly older ones. You know, Rachel was just saying one of the things that just blessed the most was the 13-year-olds teaching the 5 and 6-year-olds to dance. And so as they tell the story, that each age group looks up and goes, I want to be like them. And one of the things I loved about last Sunday was Gillian was leading worship doing, and her three girls were just at the stage going, oh, you're wonderful, Mum. Long may that continue, eh, parents? But there was just this sense, you are amazing. I want to be just like you. Deuteronomy 4 says, only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. And that's what we were doing. That's what happens. And I don't know what you want for your children. You know, what do we want for the children of this city? I want them to grow up and know Jesus. And in fact, Luke says, when Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, favor with God and man. And that's what I want for our kids. That's what I want for all of us. But that's what I want for our youngsters, that they'll grow in wisdom, stature, and favor. Before I waffle, we've not got much time. Wisdom. Jesus is the wonderful counselor. He brings godly wisdom. He wants each of us to grow in wisdom, but especially our children. The world teaches knowledge. The Bible says knowledge puffs up. Okay, but wisdom is a person. Wisdom is alive. Wisdom lives in our lives. And I want to just offer you a challenge for next year. I know I'm not meant to do it till New Year's Day, but I want to give you a challenge, right? I want to challenge every single person here to read a chapter of Proverbs and a chapter of Psalms every single day. Chapter of Proverbs and a chapter of Psalms. Now, Proverbs has 31 chapters, so that's really easy. So you can go through Proverbs every month. You miss the last proverb. You get to do that. Was it four times a year? How many times do we have 31? Okay. And then Psalms, there's a lot more Psalms. So this is how I do Psalms. I've been doing this for years and years. I split the Psalms into 30. So on the 1st of January, I'll read Psalm 1 all the way up. And then on the 1st of February, I'll read Psalm 31, okay, and go through there. And then on the 1st of March, I'll read Psalm 91. And I think it normally takes me about 4 months to get through Psalms. So as we read Proverbs, we understand the wisdom of God. And as we read Psalms, we understand the heart of God. You know, Paul says this, we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews, foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. You see, power and wisdom go hand in hand. And we don't just want the power. We need to walk in the wisdom so that the power can flow. You know, it seemed foolish for Gideon to reduce his force. It seemed foolish that they would just shine lights in the hills. It seemed foolish that God would send a baby to be born. But God's wisdom is the power to save us. You see, God is always looking for a generation that would follow him, who would desire his wisdom so they can experience his power. Psalm 14 says this, the Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there is anyone who understands, anyone who seeks God. We only need one Daniel. We only need one Daniel or Danielle to change everything. Read the story of Daniel. One person believed God. He understood what God was doing and he changed a nation. Number two, stature. The word stature means high or powerful. I don't know if you've seen some of our youth. They're giants. I mean, they terrify me. Okay, and I feel for the parents who are having to feed them, especially the boys who have hollow bones, you know, and are growing like that and devour your fridge. However, it is not just height. Stature means solid, grounded. You can't push them down. I wouldn't try to push any of our youth down. I'd be flattened. Okay, but you know, even if we can push them down, they get right back up again. You see, that's the difference between someone that knows Jesus and someone that doesn't know Jesus. It isn't that you don't fall, it's how you get up. Okay, we all stumble. We all fall. We all make mistakes. And that's why John says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just, forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Not just from a few things, everything. Okay, Christians know how to get up, because they live in the light. So we stumble in the light. Everything's on the same. We stumble, we go, oh, Lord, how did that happen? I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. We brush ourselves down and off we go. Because Isaiah says, the greatness of his government and peace, there'll be no end. You see, if we keep getting up, there can be no end. His government is over us, allowing us to grow in stature. That's what government's meant to do. Government means you can grow tall. Government's not meant to keep you low. Biblical government means you can grow tall, you can thrive. It releases you into everything that God has called you into. That's why the controlling government is so bad, but releasing government is good, because your stature can grow. I want our children, our youth, to know that their stature in life comes from our submission to the Holy Spirit and our humbleness as we walk in his power. You see, our teenagers are giants. In Jesus, they can accomplish anything. But the greater the stature, the lower we walk. Our King became a baby and a servant so we could be redeemed. We follow our King. Number three, favor, almost done. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. Favor comes upon us because we're his. Favor comes upon us because we're heirs of the King. It is because of your name, child of God, son of God, daughter of God, that his favor is on you. A revival prayer on Judy, we went round and people were just giving, just saying what they were thankful for. And it went on and on and on. You know, the guys up here were due to lead worship and, you know, 20 minutes, 25 minutes later, we're still going around the room being thankful. This is what God has done in our lives. So many talked about the Lord's favor. I didn't have a job. Now I have one. He provided for me. My friend or my family member has found faith. You see, favor is about being noticed. It's really interesting. So we walk low. Our stature is high, but we walk low in humility. But favor means you're noticed. In the early church, when Peter and John are brought before the authorities, they noted they'd been with Jesus. If you've been with Jesus, everybody will know. I tell you, I can spot people that have been with Jesus, and I can spot people that haven't. Because when you've been with Jesus, his favor is on you. This baby in the Christmas story, this King that has been born, is noticed by everybody. The shepherds are noticing, the philosophers, you know, the wise men, the king of the land, Herod, is noticing him. Simeon notices him. Anna at the temple notices him. He's noticed by the teachers of the law when his parents lose him. Wherever Jesus goes, he's noticed. That's my prayer for our children, our young people, and all of us. Wherever we go, you get noticed because you've been with the Lord. You see, the favor of God is a bit like, you know, all these spotlights, is a bit like a spotlight above it. It's on you. You know it's on you, and that's why we walk humbly. Jesus is putting his favor on each of us. As we worship, we come into his presence, his smile, his favor rests on us. And we go with his favor. We're going to go with his favor to our families. We're going to bless them. All the craziness that goes on. You know, every family's crazy, right? I used to think my family was normal. And then, you know, I went to Juliet's family. And I remember going to Juliet's family going, your family's crazy. And then she came to my family. It's true, didn't I? And then she went to my family and she said, Steve, you know, your family's a bit odd as well. And I'm going, I was like, no, they're not. You're going to go into all these situations, all right? And you're going to bring the blessing of God into your homes, amongst your parents, amongst cousins, aunties, family. Whenever you walk into a shop, you're going to bring the favor of God. You carry it. When they're uptight because of the Christmas rush, you're going to bring the favor of God into the shop, into the office, wherever you go. That's why we rejoice. That's why we're always worshiping. That's why we're always dancing. We walk in a dark land, but we possess his light, knowing his favor. Do you know, when I was an engineer, I just had favor on my life. I'd get away with anything. You know, the company I worked for, they were so good. You know, when I wanted to work for Jesus, they wanted me to work for them. So we came to an arrangement. You know, I work for Jesus. If I ran out of money, I'd go and work for them. And that's how we did it. And about 4 or 5 years, that's what I did. I'd go and work for Jesus. I'd run out of money. I'd make a call to my old boss, go, I've run out of money. Have you got any work? And he'd go, oh, yeah, come and do this. I'll go and do some work, earn some money. I'd go back working for Jesus. Favor. He said, I want you to work for God. I know that's the call. It's really interesting. Never gave his life to Jesus, but he said, I know there's a call on your life. He understood the favor of God. And that's what we did today. You know, Julia gets embarrassed. I just have favor. I'm really good at getting refunds. You know, I'm just talking to people, insurance companies hate me. You know, but there's just God's favor. His blessing is on me, us, you. And he wants us to know that. That his wisdom is on us. We're growing in wisdom. We're growing in stature. And his favor rests on us. What am I trying to say? There are so many things we can pull from the Christmas story. The obvious one is God is with us, Emmanuel. However, because he's with us, our lives change. He wants us, and especially our young, to know the person of wisdom, Jesus Christ, who lives in their life, to grow in stature and to walk in his favor, humbly submitted to him. That's why we celebrate Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end.